This is Marginalia, a production of KMUW Wichita.
Marginalia. Notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes which are incidental
or additional to
the main topic in the margin of a book.
Although she spent years working as a journalist, Fiona Barton only recently became a novelist last year with the publication of the psychological thriller The Widow. And a second thriller, The Child, was just published a few weeks ago. Both stories are told through a chorus of characters, through reliable narrators and some not so reliable. Barton didn't expect to publish two novels in 2 years, nor did she plan on a repeat performance from some of her characters, particularly a journalist named Kate Waters. In The Child, Kate is one of three different women who see a clipping in a newspaper, a short piece reporting that the skeletal remains of a baby have been found by workers at a construction site. All three women, Kate, Angela, and Emma, react differently. Kate wants to do a follow-up. Angela wonders if it is her child, stolen from her in the hospital so many years ago. And we're not quite sure what Emma thinks, because this is a psychological thriller. I spoke with Fiona Barton this week about her new book. Since it is a thriller, I don't want to expose any spoilers. So we touched on the book a bit, but then we steered the conversation to her own writing career and how her journalism experience informed some of her characters. I'm Beth Golay, this is Marginalia, and here's our conversation. You started as a journalist, as a senior writer at the Daily Mail, a news editor at the Daily Telegraph, and chief reporter at the Mail on Sunday, where you won Reporter of the Year and National Press Awards. So what made you change writing careers from journalist to novelist?
Well, it's a good question. I've always loved books. I've been reading since I was five. I can't imagine a day without reading. So books are my passion. And writing is. But for 30 years, I was writing as a journalist. So there was no space. And I had a family to raise, two children. So I had no space in my head or my life, really, to do anything other than what I was committed to. So when in 2008, I went with my husband. We went as volunteers to Sri Lanka. I stopped being a reporter. And I suddenly had that space that I could try new things. And I'd had an idea rattling around in my head for ages, and I decided that I would give it a go. So it was that, really. It was the opportunity to do something different, which I took. I didn't go very far with it, I have to say. I wrote 10 chapters in 2009 and then put it in a drawer, like you do, and then got it out again in sort of 2012. And finished it, and you know, sort of worked on it then, and on it went. So, yeah, so that's why I changed.
Your first book, The Widow, it came out in 2016, and it received national acclaim. And I read it. I was a big fan of it. It was one of NPR's best books of 2016. And in that book, you introduced a journalist, Kate Waters, as one of the main characters, and she's back in your second book, The Child. Is this a series in the making?
No, I don't think so. I never thought of doing a series. When I was writing The Widow, I never thought beyond that book, to be honest. I was so immersed in it, really. And, you know, the idea that I could publish one book, let alone two, was beyond me. So, no, I didn't set out to. And in fact, when I wrote The Widow, you know, the main character is The Widow, is Jean Taylor, the wife of the man who was accused of a terrible crime. And it was going to be her story, and it was going to be told by her in first person. But I quickly discovered that you can't tell the whole story in that way. Not the story I wanted to tell. So I introduced other narrators. They were already characters in the book. I had the detective who was leading the hunt for the little girl Glenn Taylor is accused of taking. I had the mother of the little girl, and I had the reporter who comes knocking on the door of the widow to try and get the interview. So Kate suddenly had a bigger role. And when I went on the road with the book, when I met readers and booksellers, they all asked about Kate. That's what they wanted to know about, really. They were so interested in journalism, the ethics, what it's like, what it's really like to be a journalist, and challenging the stereotypes that seem to proliferate around journalism at the moment. I thought, this is mad. Why am I not using Kate in my second book? The other thing, of course, is that as an investigator, a journalist has so much more freedom than a policeman, a detective. You know, a journalist can go and knock on doors, can ask questions without going through, you know, the exact procedure that that detectives have to. So I kept her. She wouldn't leave. And like a good reporter, she elbowed her way to the front and is staying put. And I'm writing book three at the moment, and she is very much part of book three. But each of them is a standalone. There's a recurring character, but they're not a series. You don't have to read them in order, if you like.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Even though The Widow and The Child both feature some of the same characters, they can very definitely be read independently of each other as standalone novels.
Yes, yeah. That was what I set out to do.
So let's set up this novel. The Child is set in London in 2012, primarily, and three different women see a clipping in a newspaper. The newspaper is a competitor to The Post, where Kate works, and the short piece reports that the skeletal remains of a baby have been found by workers at a construction site, and all three women react differently.
Kate sees that very short story and wonders, you know, what would drive somebody to do something like this, to bury a baby. It's thought that it's a historical event, and so nobody really knows when it happened or what happened to the baby. So Kate is very interested in doing a human interest story, if you like. She just wants to sort of delve further into, you know, what could have driven someone to do such a desperate thing, and why would someone have to do that? Why did they feel they had to do it? So she starts looking into it. She's also very fed up with online news, 24/7 news, and she wants to do something that isn't about celebrities or political stories. So she decides she's going to look into it. But as you say, three other women either see or hear about this story, and they react in very different ways because it has a different impact for each of them and sort of threatens their peace of mind, secrets that they've held on to for a very long time.
Now, just like in your first book, The Child is told through a chorus of characters, and I think I counted four, all women if I remember correctly. Some of them are holding secrets quite close to the vest, but would you consider any of them unreliable narrators?
Yes, I would. I hope so, because I love unreliable narrators. As a reader, I love that, you know, being wrong-footed. There's a saying in France where I now live, which is making the reader not know which foot to dance on. And I love that idea, that sort of uncertainty and the sort of the chipping away at what you think you know. So certainly each of the women tell their own story in their own way. And I let them do that, because at the beginning they seem terribly separate. Each of them is very separate, a very separate character. But as the story goes on, their stories start to come together.
Now, as Kate investigates the story, she uncovers secrets kept by several of the characters that she either wasn't at liberty to divulge or they weren't necessary for her newspaper story. Does this happen often in investigative journalism?
I can't really speak for others, but certainly it's happened to me when I was working as a reporter, where I would be looking into something, interviewing somebody, and they might reveal something which I wasn't sure whether they were telling me because they somehow saw me as a friend or a reporter. And there is that moment where you've got to sort of draw back a bit and say, look, do you know what the impact of you saying that could be, you know, I just want you to be absolutely sure that this is what you want to be included. That the example that stands out for me is I was interviewing a woman who was kidnapped with her boyfriend and held hostage for weeks in another country. They were finally released and I was interviewing them, and we stopped for a cup of coffee, to take a break, give people time. And during the coffee break, she said to me, I was raped while I was being held, repeatedly raped. And I was in a terrible dilemma because I didn't know why she was telling me that, you know, during a coffee break. And she said that she hadn't told her family. And, I mean, obviously her boyfriend knew. So I talked to my news editor about it. I wanted to know what to say to her. And we went back to her and said, look, you've told me this. Do you really want it in the newspaper? You know, your family can't find out about it like this. So she went away and thought about it. And she and her boyfriend came back, very courageous people, and said, no, we want it all. We want the whole truth out there. And so they told the family and all of that. But it was a moment. And I've kind of used the emotions that I felt during that story for the episode in The Child when Kate is faced with a similar dilemma.
You have a background in training journalists. And in The Child, you introduce a new trainee to your character lineup. Were you able to use Kate as a mouthpiece to impart some of your journalistic wisdom?
I don't know about that. I did introduce Joe Jackson. I love him. He's young. He's so keen, so hungry to be a journalist. And he has entered journalism right at the moment when, you know, it's everything is immediate and so far-reaching. And, you know, the mantra is you've got to be first. Unfortunately, people seem to have forgotten a bit that you need to be right as well. But anyway, so I gave Kate Joe because I wanted to talk about the seismic changes in journalism. And journalists, reporters of my vintage, we've seen so many changes. I started when newspapers were printed with hot metal. So it's a long way off what we're doing now. And so Joe is all about delivery of news, platforms, social media, and Kate is all about content. So she tries to teach him something, and she learns a lot from him as well. I liked that sort of prickly relationship between them, which I think sort of adds a bit of deadpan humour, you know, when things are getting quite difficult, quite dark in the book.
You know, you were just talking about online versus print. And I mean, it seems to mirror real life, what you write about in the book. It mirrors this real life discussion of online versus print in the world of journalism. And, you know, talk to me a little bit about this evolution. I mean, does the term above the fold still have meaning in this new world of journalism?
Not at all. Not at all. No, not at all. It's, you know, that's what has changed so markedly. A huge number of people across the world now read online, and so they write their own news list. They're much more likely to seek out the news item that they are interested in, and so they are prioritizing the news. The technology and the huge leaps forward are so exciting. And I've been working with young journalists who that's the market and the business, the career that they're entering into. But what Kate says in the book and echoes pretty much what I think is that the danger is that in this rush to be first, to use every platform possible, people have forgotten about content and the quality of content and the fact that not everybody is a journalist. That was the cry at the beginning of all of this, you know, everyone can be a journalist. Well, actually, journalism is a lot more complicated and skilled than just giving an opinion on Facebook. So my fear is really that it's allowed this whole fake news thing to blossom. I'm hoping that people will act to get back to some of the sort of integrity of journalists and journalism.
Well, that was what I was going to ask next. What do you think of the fake news that our president continues to mention? Because you mentioned there's such a rush to be first. There's a rush just to get opinion out. But does the onus ever lie with the reader who's seeking the information to establish whether or not it's a credible source? I think people seek out the news they want to read. And if it doesn't align with their opinion, they immediately discredit it as fake.
Absolutely. And the algorithms and all of that play to that so that, you know, they've shown that on Facebook, we only see posts that chime in with what we think. And that's a terrible thing, that we're never challenged, you know, with other people's opinions or another viewpoint on something. That's what journalists do. And so, you know, this cry of fake news, it's propaganda, basically. And that's been with us forever. You know, during wars and things, propaganda is used as a weapon of war. It's sort of to change minds. What I hope is that I don't think it's up to the reader to check facts. Of course, you know, they could be so interested that they do, that they look at other sources. But actually, it's the journalist's job to do that, to check the facts, to make sure that what they're presenting is right and has, you know, different points of view in the story.
That was Fiona Barton, author of the book The Child, which was published by Berkeley. Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. Discover new episodes at kmuw.org or on iTunes. Marginalia was produced at KMUW Wichita. Our editor is Luann Stevens. Our engineer is John Cyphers, and I am the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.